Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. We'll read verses 10 through 17 as we continue our sermon series called Walking with Jesus on the Jerusalem Road, a St. Luke exclusive. We will be preaching on the various passages where Luke exclusively contributes our knowledge to the life of Christ. Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. Please listen closely, for this is God's word. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things that he was doing. So ends the reading of God's word. Let's pause now for prayer. Let us pray. O Lord, we pray that you would illuminate the scriptures by the preaching and teaching of your word. Fill our minds and our hearts and our emotions and our wills with your Holy Spirit. We thank you and ask this in Christ's name. And let us say, amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I am always so encouraged when the Church of Jesus Christ serves the physically impaired. I smile every time I drive down 28th Street here in Hudsonville and 28th Avenue, and is this street or avenue? Thank you, avenue. Get my numbers mixed up. And every time I go by Rosewood Church and I see their new church sign, and have you noticed that it says Deaf and Hearing Impaired Ministry? Deaf and Hearing Impaired Ministry. That cheers me up. I smile every time I see that sign. And I'm grateful for our friends at Love in the Name of Christ. Through you, this congregation, and our 104 partner ministries, loan out free medical equipment to people in our community with physical disabilities. I don't know about you, but I get a kick out of seeing all those little church shuttle buses driving out throughout our community. And they all have names on them that honor Jesus. Names like Cornerstone, names like Fellowship, even Georgetown Seniors, as they pick up shut-ins for Bible study in church. All of those are visual reminders that Jesus Christ relieves pain and suffering for the physically impaired through his church today. But did you know that people with disabilities are one of the largest unreached people groups in the world today? They exist within a subculture of every culture on earth. They are found in every race, every religion, every people, every language. There are nearly 1 billion disabled people on earth today, and 58 million of them live in America. And most of them, listen closely, most of them are unchurched. Be honest, how many do you see on any given Sunday at church? But every city, every town, every neighborhood has people with disabilities, people who are longing to belong. And as we learn in today's passage, Jesus Christ, through his church, can relieve their pain and their suffering even today. So this brings us to our first point. If you're taking notes, you can open your bulletin, pull out your attached pens. Our first point from Luke 13, verses 10 through 17, is a crippled woman. Let's read about her in verse 10 and 11. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. Scholars believe that this woman's condition might fall under the diagnosis spondylitis deformans. It is a medical condition. It is caused by bones of her spine fusing together into one mass. Now, Luke here does not necessarily say she's currently demon-possessed. No demon is actually cast out in this miracle. Jesus does that in other miracles. But Dr. Luke, who understands the human body, does say that some kind of spiritual activity, some evil spiritual activity, had afflicted this woman some 18 years ago, and its effect remained with her to this day. She was physically disabled. Now, exactly how this happened, we do not know, but no doubt what happened was traumatic. Her back was severely bent over. Her face constantly looked down at the ground. She lived in a posture of permanent and perpetual humility. And after 18 years of this burden, she seemed to be sinking lower and lower and lower every year under this physical and spiritual burden. One commentator writes, "She walked about as if she were searching for a grave." Maybe she hoped to find it. So let me pause to ask you a question as we continue through our text. How would you respond if she came through the doors of your church today? If a physically disabled person walks through the doors of the church, you might find it unsettling. You might encounter in this disabled person not only an unusual posture, but you might also hear gurgling forth from her unusual sounds, unexpected odors, perhaps drool on seats and clothing, even a colostomy bag. How would you respond? Are you prepared to interact with people who may not look like you? Who may not act like you, whose odors may not be like your own? Many people with disabilities don't think so, and that is why the statistics tell us they are staying away from church in droves. Well, praise God that this woman did not stay away from church. Now, we don't know her name. But Jesus, in verse 16, calls her a daughter of Abraham. And that often is a designation of faith. Not always, but often. And we learn in verse 10 that Jesus meets her in one of the synagogues he visited. And so we learn that this woman is a churchgoer. But still, could you blame her if she missed church? Could you blame her if she woke up in the morning and her disability left her physically and emotionally weary, and so she skipped church? This woman came to church anyway. Because you see, the physically disabled need church like the rest of us. They need, like you and I, the word, the sacraments, and prayer. They, like you and I, need friendship, fellowship, and hospitality, our theme this year. They, too, need a good day of church, a nice day of rest, and a wonderful day to worship. And this disabled woman pushed through her pain and her sorrows and her fears and her anxieties, and she went to synagogue so she could meet with God and meet with God's people. Think about how hard that might have been, especially in the days of Jesus, when it was common in the days of Jesus for people to actually blame the disabled for their disability. And if they didn't blame the disabled for their disability, they blamed the parents of the disabled for the disability. It was their own fault, said some. The Greeks would say the gods were cursing them and was not shining down on them. Even God's people, the Jews, would wonder, what sin did they commit that they were born blind, or what sin did their parents commit? All I can say is praise God for a brave woman and women like her who will enter the courts of the church in the face of superstition, in the face of ignorance, in the face of bigotry, and still go to meet God. A crippled woman. This brings us to our second point. The first point was a crippled woman. The second point, our compassionate Christ. Young Life Capernaum. It's a ministry of Young Life today, and it ministers to teens and young adults with severe disabilities. One mother described how her daughter volunteered for the program and really bonded with a few of these special teens, special needs teens. One night, her daughter mentioned to her mother that she was going out that night, a Friday night, with several Capernaum friends, and her mother looked at her and said, "Oh, that's wonderful that you're giving up your Friday night for them. That's sweet." To which her daughter replied, "Mom, they're my friends. They're my friends." Now, the first way Christ shows his compassion to this disabled woman is, firstly, notice verse 12, he simply noticed her. He noticed. Verse 12 begins, when Jesus saw her. The Son of God noticed. He paid attention to her. When she shuffled into the synagogue and she was doubled over with her disability, he did not ignore her. He perceived her. And sadly today, many times we choose to ignore the physically disabled. And I know there are reasons why. Sometimes we don't know what to say. We're very self-conscious. Sometimes we don't know what to expect. What can they do and interact with me? Sometimes we're afraid, how is it going to turn out? What am I getting into here if I say hi? Sometimes we find it just easier to ignore them, to go about our own business, and evidently that seems to be what was going on that day in synagogue, the day Jesus visited. There she was in the group. Jesus noticed her. Not only did he notice her, secondly, we see that Jesus, now this is fascinating, Jesus takes the first step. Our verse tells us that he doesn't take the second step. He doesn't take the third step. He takes the first step. He doesn't wait for her to approach him. And if you read your Gospels, you will know how unusual that is. Normally, when you read the healing stories in the Gospels, those who need healing usually approach Jesus or send an agent to approach Jesus on their behalf, not the other way around. Normally, it's people coming to Jesus to touch him or to get his attention or to call out his name and ask him for help and to deliver them from their lifelong disease. But Jesus goes out of his way to take the first step with this disabled woman. Verse 12 says, when Jesus saw her, he called her forward and spoke to her. Jesus took the first step toward the physically disabled woman. Interestingly enough, that is the exact same way that Jesus does in our salvation. The Bible tells us that Jesus always takes the first step when a man, woman, or child are saved. The Bible says that Jesus takes that first step, he does it for all of his people that he's saving, not just the handicapped lady. In John 15, verse 16, it says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." In Romans 5, 8, Paul says, "God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus always takes the first step in our salvation when he saves a man, woman, or child. He takes the first step, then we respond in faith and repentance. And so, dear church, let us remember that. Whenever you find yourself apprehensive to approach someone with a very visible physical disability, remember that Jesus took the first step. He took the first step for her. He takes the first step for you and me. Let us go and honor him and do likewise. Take the first step. Firstly, he notices her. Secondly, he takes the first step. Thirdly, the best news of all, he delivers her. Verse 12 and 13, Jesus said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hand on her, and immediately she straightened up, and she praised God. What a delivery. She had been down for 18 years, and now, boy, things were looking up, literally. She had set her eyes upon things below for 18 years, and now she was looking up into the heavenlies and praising God. And whether Jesus does a healing miracle or a nature miracle or even an exorcism, nothing is too hard for Jesus. He is able to deliver. And dear church, Jesus delivers today. It may seem like this woman that no one sees. It may seem to you that no one cares. It may seem to you no one knows deep down the true nature of your troubles. For some, that burden is a physical burden. For others, that burden is a mental or emotional burden. For all of us, it is a spiritual burden. For all of us, the Bible teaches the burden of guilt weighs us down. For all of us, the Bible teaches the temptation of Satan keeps us bound. For all of us, says the Bible, our relationship with God and each other is broken down. Jesus sees. Jesus sees. He notices in the crowd. He sees. And even today in this church service, he sees, and he offers you, like this woman, to come and be healed. Some of you think it's been too long. Some of you think it's been too long. You're beyond help. Jesus says it doesn't matter how long. It may be 18 years. It may be longer. Jesus delivers. You need not wait a single day longer. He can deliver today from guilt, from bondage to sin, from misery, from death. The Bible teaches he will deliver your soul today and he will deliver your body tomorrow on that final day. Come and be healed, says Jesus. Come and be healed. This brings us to our third major point. Remember now, the first point was a crippled woman. The second point, our compassionate Christ. And then thirdly, now this is interesting, a cranky critic. A cranky critic. Let's look at verse 14. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." Now, the Church of Jesus Christ is a beautiful institution. I'm committed to Christ and his church. I, like so many pastors, honestly believe that the local church is the hope of the world. But having said that, sometimes you run into cranks at church. I know it's shocking. It's true. And every now and then, the church will actually find one of those cranks and make them an elder that takes care of it. Well, this particular elder was the president of the board. And cranky people, whether they are parishioners or elders or presidents of the synagogue, presidents of the board, sometimes the things that come out of our mouth in public are pretty dumb. They're pretty heartless. For example, here are a few comments that were reported by some special needs families when they tried to attend church. Quote, I asked if we could possibly have someone help my disabled child during Sunday school. But the church told me that they were not responsible to find me babysitters. I took my disabled family member to church. She can be a little noisy. So an usher asked us to please leave because we were disrupting things. Quote, I asked if my special needs child could come to any of the children's activities, but they said he's too disruptive. In frustration, one mother of a child with Down syndrome said, I long for the day when church Sunday schools are just as accepting and prepared for special needs children as public school classrooms are. Back to our cranky critic. Now, our cranky critic in Luke chapter 13 suffered from two problems toward the disabled. He was hard-headed and hard-hearted. He was hard-headed and hard-hearted. First, he was hard-headed. He and his cronies had developed a very hard-headed theology that actually did the opposite of the two greatest commandments. They dishonored God and oppressed their neighbor. In verse 15, the Lord answered him, you hypocrites, don't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? You see, our cranky critic had a hard theology of the Sabbath, not like the Bible's teaching of the Sabbath. Oh, no. The Bible calls the Sabbath a delight. The Bible says that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. As J.C. Ryle writes, of all the commandments that God has given us, none is more essential to the happiness of man than the Sabbath. He continues, and none is so frequently misrepresented, abused, and trampled underfoot. Our cranky critic thought that the Sabbath was for rest and worship alone and nothing else. No mercy towards your neighbor, few acts of necessity. He followed the teaching of the first century rabbis. You see, the first century rabbis were trying to improve on the law of Moses. Where there was ambiguity, they kindly lent clarity by their wisdom. And so they began to add rules and rules and rules and lots of rules about the Sabbath. And in the process of their, what scholars call casuistry, layer after layer of crusty rules talking about what somebody said several hundred years ago and then 50 years ago, then 25 years ago, interpreting one another. Underneath that crusty list of casuistry, their rules overshadowed the mercy and grace of God. It actually undercut the scriptures. But, Jesus points out in his criticism, somehow they managed to make their rules show more kindness to animals than to people. They had a very hard-headed theology of the Sabbath. And, of course, the other one, our cranky critic, was hard-hearted. Do you have no heart? Verse 16, then should not this woman, says Jesus, a daughter of Abraham, a living being imprinted with the image of God and part of the covenant community, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, should she not be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? Find healing, but just keep it down over there. He had no compassion on her as a woman. He had no love for her as his neighbor. He cared more about livestock than people. And so I'll ask, are we hard-headed or hard-hearted toward the handicapped? I hope not. I hope our thinking and I hope our feelings align with love for God and love for neighbor that Christ Jesus commands. Now briefly for our final point. A crippled woman, firstly. A compassionate Christ, secondly. A cranky critic, thirdly. And finally and fourthly, a cheerful community. A cheerful community, verse 17. When Jesus said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Not only did Jesus save this woman, not only did Jesus save the Sabbath, not only did Jesus save love for God and compassion for neighbor, Jesus saved the entire community of God's people by his deed that day. For by his righteous life, which would be vindicated by God when he raised our Lord Jesus from the dead, we are invited to partake of the resources and join our Savior as he walks on the Jerusalem road. Through Jesus, today, the church can relieve pain and suffering for the physically impaired. Every Lord's Day when we gather to worship Christ, to enjoy his word, sacraments, and prayer, and to proclaim the gospel of healing in his wings, it is a great day to welcome the disabled, a great day to care for the sick, a great day to protect the sick and visit the shut-in. Now, you and I know we do not have the power to cure people the way Jesus did. That's what makes Jesus unique, the very Son of God. But he promises that in him, by our love and compassion, we can be agents of his saving grace. And what marvelous praise will echo in the corridors of the church on beautiful Sundays like those. We see it, the woman praised God that day. The people were delighted that day. God's adversaries, our verse says, were put to shame that day. A pastor friend of mine likes to say, Steve, we always say, what's the chief end of man? To glorify God. What's the opposite of that? That is to make the devil mad. Let's make the devil mad today. The corollary, to glorify God today. Jesus did it. He made his adversaries angry. We learn in the Bible that Jesus did that on the cross when he defeated Satan. We learn Jesus did it again on Easter Sunday when he rose from the dead. And he is doing it now through his church. As the hands and feet of Jesus reaching to the disabled and the broken in Jesus' name. And the wonderful news is, it's not just them that need the help, it's us. Jesus will do the same thing for us today if we go to him for saving grace. And let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that joy and delight would fill the gathering of God's people week by week. We pray, O Lord, that the opponents of God in Christ would be humiliated and sent running. We pray, O Lord, that you would make our hearts soft and our heads warm We pray, O Lord, that you would work within your people the compassion of Christ. You took the first step with us. Grant us to take that first step to others. Thank you, O Lord, for the blessings of Christ and knowing him and making him known. We ask these things in his name. And let us all say.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151. Or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.
Amen.